Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, domestic abuse reports to Gardaí have increased by more than 45% in the last 4 years. The figures provided by the Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, show reports have dramatically increased in every region across the country. However, my next guest says building more refuge spaces is not the answer. Mary McDermott is Chief Executive of Safe Ireland, a domestic and gender-based violence advocacy group, and she joins us now. And Mary, you're very welcome to the programme this evening. The programme for government has committed to building more refuges, and it's something we've discussed in this programme very many times, but I know you say if we build more refuges for victims of domestic abuse, we're simply building cul-de-sacs. What do you mean by that?
Well, good evening, Sarah. We're very glad to be here. The bottom line on it is when you think of anybody who's in an abusive or coercive relationship, they are effectively trapped in their home. It is a very intense and abusive relationship, a lot of psychological damage, a lot of economic control. So when a woman or indeed a man and young people and children are trying to escape that, their levels of threat increase. And if they go, as they often do need, and please be clear, we do need refuges, but they are not the answer on their own. And in fact, we think they will replicate historic institutional damage in this country around putting vulnerable people in institutions. But if they do leave, they need to have a pathway either out to a new home where they can begin their life again, or they need to be able to return safely home. And that requires a safe family as well as a safe community, not simply the removal of the perpetrator.
Okay, and I understand all of that, but of course, as you know very well, we're in the middle of a housing crisis at the moment. So finding places for anyone to go is very difficult. Is this not a good short-term solution, or and even in the longer term, is it not a good mid-term solution for people trying to find somewhere to go, somewhere safe?
Well, there are two things. The first thing is just on the issue of homelessness. Domestic violence is the prime driver. I mean, we really need to sit and just calmly think about this. Domestic violence is a prime driver of family homelessness, youth homelessness, and obviously child homelessness. So we're not talking about an additional issue here. And of course, it runs across. Domestic violence is not related to the usual markers of social inclusion, so it is not driven by poverty or your class or your race or your ability. It is a dynamic all of its own. So that means that, you know, when we're thinking about this, we really need to think about this as a whole large-scale problem. It's huge. And we're saying it's actually sitting right there in the middle of the homelessness problem. What we need it to be is recorded accurately, cohorts to be identified correctly, and pathways in and out of abuse created in a very coherent manner. So that's on the issue of homelessness. But more importantly, I think, and I think your readers, or even, sorry, your listeners will be really more sensitive to this issue in many ways, is that when a woman, or indeed anybody who is experiencing domestic abuse, decides to leave an abusive relationship, they are at increased levels of danger. We know that for a fact. If they are forced to go back, so a woman leaves, goes to refuge, she cannot stay there forever. There is nowhere to stay. She has to go back to an abusive home. She is in increased subjugation. She is humiliated. And her safety is even more in danger. So, like, this isn't rhetoric. Domestic violence drives homelessness in this country to a huge degree. It is not recognised clearly at national level, and that's why we're constantly asking for the Housing Department to release their national domestic violence guidelines for local authorities. And at local authority level, we know that the county councils are increasingly, and this isn't ill will, they're increasingly trying to engage here, but they need formal structural support to do so at a national level. So there are concerns.
Okay. How do you account for this 45% increase in reports to Gardaí over the past 4 years?
Well, I mean, there's always the issue of reporting and data. So we're just looking at reporting on Gardaí Síochána corner here. And of course, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Most people don't report to the Gardaí. That's the first thing I'd say. Secondly, in terms of the increased report, I mean, it's a bizarre thing to say that some of it's positive. And if you look at it from this span of time, is from when COVID broke out, and we could see the absolute success of Operation Free Shift, and we'd really want that to be revived or supported again where possible. That is really important. And the increased reporting, I think, all of a sudden, I think at a national level, I don't know whether you agree with me or not here, but I think that people feel more aware of domestic violence as a social problem, not just reducible to poor person's choice. It's not just some poor individual who walked into a very troublesome situation. This is a social problem that requires a social response. And in fact, we're doing that in this country. It's just a question, will we plan it right, correctly? Will we put the right resources in and measure twice, cut once?
Is there any argument or way in which the perpetrator of domestic violence could be the person who has to leave the family home rather than the victim and the children?
Yeah, well, I mean, people often say, why don't you take him out? You know, that's the usual thing, on the assumption that that's the gender or the sex, more accurately. So really what you have there is, again, you need to understand how domestic violence works. It is steeped in shame and stigma and victim blaming. So as often as not, even the victim's own family might blame him or her, might blame her. And so even if you take the perpetrator out, she may remain in danger with her family, with her own family, within her own community. And certainly even within the county, there may be nowhere to go. So taking the perpetrator out is not a simple move. And again, I think it would probably need considerable legal minds just to think about how can we remove a perpetrator in the context of private property and ownership and all of that. You know, indeed, women were, of course, private property for a considerable period of time. So we just need to think about these things in a creative way, I think.
And I can understand what you're saying then, that if we're, you know, if a lot of the focus is on now there's more refuges, we've solved the problem. You know, the concern being that now with more refugees, we've solved the problem. You're saying absolutely not. So what is the solution then? Or what would you like to see happen over the next 4 to 5 years?
Well, what I'd like to see, and we can see the new agency Coon has just been established, and they have an enormous task on their table. And, you know, you can see political pressure around refuge because it's an optic. It is a solution in the very short term, but it is not. And in fact, it could be dangerous. That's number one. And number two, the what you might call the reliance on refuge as an answer to all this, for me personally, has strong historical reverberations around mother and children baby homes, putting people into institutions, all that. We really do not want to repeat that. And I mean, I know nobody wants to repeat that. So we really need to think carefully. The way out of this is to have a plan, and housing and homelessness is one of it. But of course, economic control is another. There's a whole load of things. Get the domestic violence guidelines out to local authorities. And support local authorities to record and identify domestic violence cohorts as distinctive. Prioritise them for housing. If victims go to refuge for crisis emergency, and remember this is middle of the night stuff, not always, but that there is somewhere for them to move on that is dedicated supported housing within their own area, or if it needs to be outside it, but that's when COVID broke out, we used to say what we need is an overground railway for people to be able to escape abusive homes. Now, that triggers perpetrators. We're very aware of that. But we really need to do that. And then there's a whole set of ancillary support. So, for example, we had a wonderful introduction of the non-means-tested domestic violence rent supplement. That was really, really important. The community welfare officers really need to educate themselves about that.
Okay.
It is not means-tested. And there are other supports that we can put in place. A GP card for 6 months so that a mother can bring her children for care.
Okay.
Things like that. Yeah. There's a list as long as my arm.
I can
Sarah.
Tell, Mary, you could talk to me for the rest of the programme about the different things that can be done. And I can hear that you're very passionate about what you're advocating for. And thank you very much for joining us on the programme this evening. That's Mary McDermott, who's Chief Executive of Safe Ireland.